Hi, this is Pastor Rob Summerall here, lead teaching pastor at Crossroads Baptist Church. You know, here at Crossroads, we have been blessed with a number of men who are very capable preachers of God's Word. Some of them are pastors who've either retired or they've moved on from different seasons of ministry, and they find themselves at Crossroads while they're resting and recovering. Other men are young men who aspire to ministry one day where they will serve the Lord, either as church planters or missionaries or lead teaching pastors. We came up with this idea of using their gifts and talents in a, what we call a preaching summit. We gave each one of them an assigned text from the book of James and a roughly 20-minute time spot where they could present the Word of God to us. We crammed 9 sermons into 5 different sessions, and boy, can I tell you, our church was blessed by this. The audio that follows this is one of the messages from that preaching summit. We hope that it will bless you in the same way that it's blessed us. We hope that you'll pray for these men, that God will use them in the days ahead. And listen, if you're looking for a place to worship, be sure to tune in after this sermon where you can find out more about how you can connect with Crossroads Baptist Church here in Elizabethtown, Kentucky. God bless you.
All right, I'd like to invite you to turn in your Bibles to James chapter 5. Most of you are already there after the able exposition of Brother Allen. And love that brother so much in the Lord. So sorry to see him split off. Well, it's a bittersweet thing. We're glad to see you guys split off in your own life group, but sorry to lose you in our life group. I want to give a shout out to Rob Summerall. He made a confession a couple of nights ago that, boy, he just wanted to preach. And let me tell you, that is a pastor and a preacher. And I just don't think you might appreciate what a brainstorm this is for him to actually come up with this whole thing. And then to just say, you know what, you guys, you do this. And I'm going to sit there. And for him, that this has been an offering that is pleasing to the Lord for Rob to sit there. And let and kill, because it has been a living sacrifice that he has been making on that front pew. But I do appreciate that, brother. For him to value the Word of God that much and to put us in front of you, it just says a great deal about what his leadership has meant to this church. The other thing I would like to say is thank you. Where would we have been if we had not had people to actually value the Word enough to come out each night and listen? Okay? And I pray that you have been edified by it. I know that I have. So there you are in James chapter 5. We're coming to the conclusion of this wonderful book. And I just want to start off by saying that the Scripture makes some extravagant claims about prayer. We're going to be talking about prayer right now. And despite some initial impressions of this text as we read it, I think what we'll find tonight is this is one of those extravagant promises about the power and the sufficiency of prayer in our lives. So based upon that, let's start in chapter 5, starting with verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. I just want to start off with a few textual notes here. This passage starts at a very earthy ground level. Basically, James is walking us through several phenomena that we encounter in our lives. Hardships, sicknesses, and etc. And you can just write a line under his advice there. He says, listen, I've got a word from God. And wherever those circumstances you may find yourself in life, pray. Pray to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord. If you're high, take it to the Lord. If you're low, pray, take it to the Lord. If you're healthy, take it to the Lord. If you're sick, take it to the Lord. And all of these case studies lead to the theme verse for this passage there in verse 16, where we read, "The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." In this whole passage, that is most likely the verse that you would have memorized or had some familiarity with as I read it. Now, James's desire is that we know that prayer works. And I don't know about you, but I want prayer that works for a living. That's why I've entitled this message, Prayer That Actually Works for a Living. And that's to contrast it with things that are just there for show, okay? There are just some things that they look functional, but really they're not functional. I love my father. He's a man's man, Marine, twice wounded in Vietnam. You know, just the kind of guy that you just looked at and you're like, man, this guy chewed through metal. And then my mom passed away. And the object of his affection became his dachshund. Okay? Now, that's great. I love my dad loving his dachshund. So I go over to his house one day and he wants to show me this new thing that he's got. Hey, Sam, I just want to show you something. And he's got some decorative plates. You know those plates you hang up on the wall? And these plates have dachshunds on them. My dad has decorative plates with dachshunds on them that are to be hung and displayed on the wall so that we can all admire the plates. Now, I don't know if you have decorative plates up in your house, but you know the thing, it's kind of funny, isn't it? Where did that ever come from, that we just take plates, put something beautiful on it, and hang it on the wall? You don't use them. You don't eat off of them. They don't really serve any purpose. They're just there for show. And can I be frank with you? Sometimes a lot of our prayers are like that. They look pretty. They look like they should take some food, that they should serve some purpose, but they're just up on the wall there to look good. And that is the case in so many of our lives. Jesus' warning here is to avoid those pretty but not practical prayers. James is echoing Jesus' advice that he has given to us. Hey, beware of the Pharisees who like to pray long, florid prayers, showy, decorative plate prayers up on the wall, but they don't have any real substance. They're not working for a living. So, let's get those plates off the wall, shall we? And let's put them to work. Amen? You guys in for that? All right, so there's a couple of things. There's two ways of thinking that will motivate us to get our prayers into work, okay? And those are what we're going to look at tonight. We will put prayer to work when we first expect God's presence in every season of real life. When we expect God's presence in every season of real life. It's clear from what we have read here that James expects there to be an ongoing conversation with God through every episode of our lives. I'll just quickly rattle those off for the sake of time since we are constrained to 20 minutes. He tells us that we are to pray when we are suffering. Is anyone suffering? He says in verse 13. Then he ought to pray. We need to pray in order to seek hope. The other thing is what we need to pray when we're celebrating. He's like, listen, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs of praise. Some of you may not think that you're singing songs of praise, maybe in your car, is a prayer, but it is a prayer to the Lord. It is a celebration of His goodness in your life, and it is a sweet aroma to Him. Prayer is where we express our joys and our thankfulness to God. He wants us to pray when we are ailing. He says, is anyone sick? Call the elders. Have them come and pray over you and anoint you with oil. Prayer is where we seek healing and comfort. And then finally, we pray when we're failing. He says, you know what? If the person has sinned, he'll be forgiven. And I thank God for those prayers. I thank God for that invitation to bring my failures to Him. Prayer is where we ask for forgiveness. If we think that our lives under much of these headings, the chances are good that one of them will stand out as a place where you tend not to pray. And can I just tell you, if that area where you tend not to pray is an area where you don't, whether you have stated it or not, if you don't pray in a certain area of your life, it is because you do not think that that is a place where God intends to show up. We just aren't expecting God to care that much about it. There are just certain things that you don't talk to people about, and that's about things they don't care about. My wife likes to watch the Oscars. You know that award ceremony where Hollywood gets together and just, I won't even talk about what they do. but she likes it. She enjoys knowing who got best picture, what J-Lo was wearing, okay? And the thing is that early on in our marriage, she thought that I would want to know. And so she would tell me what happened on the Oscars last night. But this year, we will be celebrating 25 years of wedded bliss. And you know what she no longer does? Tells me about the Oscars. Because she knows, homie, don't play that. I don't care. Okay? Now, can I just tell you that sometimes what we're looking at when we think about our prayer lives with God, the reason we don't talk to Him about certain things is we don't think He cares about those things. But James is saying, listen, guys, He cares about everything in your life. And He wants you to bring all of it to Him. So we need to expect God's presence in every season of real life. But our second point, this really is where we're going to camp out a little bit, because I think it is the heavy stress of this passage, even though it comes at the end. We will put prayer to work not only when we expect God's presence in every season of real life, but when we experience God's power as the foundation of real life. God's power. James ends this section with spiritual dynamite. In verse 17, he says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently. Now, you and I probably just read that and go, oh yeah, Elijah, he's just kind of illustrating his point from the Old Testament. Oh, no. This is Elijah, okay? You have to understand the kind of space that he occupied in the imagination of the children of God at that time. This 3.5-year drought that James is referencing here is the way that Elijah is introduced there in 1 Kings chapter 17. And James is here making a radical claim. Elijah was just a guy. Elijah was just a guy like you and like me. Now, Elijah was probably the closest thing to a superhero that there is outside of Jesus in the Bible. So let me just give you a kind of a tick off of some of his greatest hits. There's this drought where he prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years on the land. He went and the Lord used him to raise a widow's son from the dead. That's solid, solid game. He called fire down from heaven on Mount Carmel. You guys remember that? Praying and it just licked up the water and destroyed the altar that was there. He prayed to end the drought, that 3.5-year drought. He just said, Lord, please make it rain. And then it started raining like a tsunami. He outran a chariot from Carmel to Jezreel. That's probably around a marathon's distance. And he just took, it says he tucked up his cloak and outran a chariot. He went Flash or Quicksilver, depending whether you're Marvel or DC, okay? And he outran the chariot. He called down. Now, you may not realize this. Three separate detachments of 50 were sent to apprehend. 50 guys, 50 armed soldiers sent to get one guy, Elijah. He's sitting up on a rock. The first 50 show up, and they're like, you're coming with us. He's like, oh, really? He calls down fire on heaven and burns them up. The second 50 come up. They said, you're coming with us. He says, oh, really? He prays. 50, they get burned up again. The third 50 come up. They're like, would you please come with us? And he goes ahead and goes with them. And you know what? To top it all off, Elijah never died. God said, you know what? When Elijah's ministry was over, God just said, you know what, Elijah? I'm going to send a taxi and just bring you on home. Don't pass go. Don't collect $200. You just get to come on home with a chariot of fire. That is Elijah, who was just a dude like you and me. Now, let's be honest. Doesn't that sound like fiction? Doesn't it? That is precisely the kind of stuff in the Bible that when skeptics get a hold of it, those are the parts they cut out. Those are the parts that there's no way that ever happened. And you and I sit here tonight reverencing the Word of God saying, we know that happened. Every jot and tittle is absolutely true. But let me ask you this. Does that sound like a man who just has a nature like yours and like mine? You see, what James is warning us here, he's a very strong warning. You and I are in danger of reading the Bible like fiction. I love The Lord of the Rings. Some of you might know that. And one of my favorite characters is Gandalf, the wizard, you know? The wizened old guy, and he's always kind of in charge. You know, if things get really bad, you can look over to Gandalf. And he kind of reminds me of Elijah, you know? You shall not pass! It shall not rain! I think that's pretty solid. Thank you. Now, here's the deal, guys. I have enjoyed reading those books immensely many, many times. But after closing up The Return of the King, I never have done this. Never have I gone out, crafted a staff for myself, and attempted to cast a spell of levitation. You want to know why? Because I know it's make-believe. Because I know that the sources of power that are referenced in The Lord of the Rings don't exist. And so there's no point in going and trying to emulate Gandalf and all of those guys, because that power does not exist. James is saying to us, recognize that as you read about Elijah and others, that the same power that made Elijah who he was exists. Today, right here and right now. Elijah was not some otherworldly wizard. He was a man who prayed fervently to the God of the universe. And that God exists. And we know even more than Elijah did, because we know that that God would take on human flesh and would come and pay the penalty for our sins we have sung about here tonight. And the writer of Hebrews in chapter 1 says, Jesus upholds the universe by the word of his power. And that God, our God, still works powerfully through prayer. So let's look at verse 16 again. It says, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. You realize what you are appealing to when you ask the Lord to do something in prayer? You are appealing to the foundational power, not merely of your church, not merely of your inner well-being. You are appealing to the foundational power that is right now upholding the universe. That's what James does not want his people to miss. All the things that we've been working through this week, the suffering, the difficulty, the adversity, the interpersonal conflict, he's like, listen, guys, don't forget whose power it is that you are appealing to. It's the same power that Elijah was appealing to. Think about all of the great things that you want to see this church accomplish. Every ministry that you want to see it start, every soul that you want to see saved, every building perhaps that you want to see built. And I can tell you this, that not one of those good things will come apart from the power of God. James 5 is one of those sections of Scripture where God wants to prime our spiritual pump so that we start praying audacious prayers. And that is my hope for us tonight. God is saying, stop letting your world weariness drag down what you think I am capable of doing, because I am Elijah's God. Your God is Elijah's God. And James says, don't forget it, guys. You guys are suffering. This stuff is going on in your life. Maybe it's confusing. Maybe you're sick. Maybe even unto death, call the elders, whatever is going on in your life, but don't forget that your God is Elijah's God. Have my power as the foundation of your understanding of how the world works, and realize that there is nothing above me. We're told all the time on the news about all the things that are crafting destiny. Sociology, the forces of the universe, the right side of history. You all want to know what's going on in all of that? The foundational power underneath all of that is the God of the universe. And we get to pray to Him. But I just want to give this little caution, because as I thought about this thing, I thought, man, this really, oh Lord, I want to pray and I want to ask these audacious and bold prayers of you. And yet there are two things that make us hesitate. And they're contained right here in this passage. Verse 15 says, the prayer of faith will heal the person and save him, right? The prayer of faith. And the other thing is that the prayer of the righteous person. Don't those kind of throw a little cold water on you a little bit? The prayer of faith, because I begin to think to myself, listen, Sam, I'm not sure my faith is strong enough. And as far as righteousness is concerned, I got a lot of problems. There's a lot of things that I do that just aren't right. Righteous, wow. Let me ask you this, child of God. Is the effectiveness of your faith dependent upon what you see in yourself? Or is the effectiveness of your faith dependent upon what you see in Jesus? Is the righteousness that you are counting on to enter into heaven based upon what you see in yourself? Or is the righteousness that you expect to be to allow you into heaven based upon what you see in Jesus Christ? If those are the things that are animating your hopes of heaven, then they are the absolute same things that ought to open your mouth in prayer to say that it is faith, not looking inward, but looking at Christ. And it is a righteousness that I don't find in myself natively, but that which has been given to me through Jesus Christ. The prayer of faith is a prayer of trust. It might be helpful to think about it that way rather than throwing, because faith just seems sometimes, we put it with a lot of baggage in it. So just think about this, the prayer of trust, trusting God. Because when you pray in trust, you trust the Lord to answer in His time, in His way, and for His glory. There is power in prayer. You know, a lot of times when I think about prayer, I think about prayer as trying to bring something to pass. But maybe it's better to think about prayer as bringing something to God. This sickness. Lord, I don't necessarily bring this to you to force you to do something, because I don't know what you want to do here. But I bring it to you, because that's where it needs to be. Maybe there's a decision in the future here, and I don't know exactly which way it should go. And I'm not praying to you to make this thing happen, but I'm bringing this to you. I'm not praying to bring something to pass. I'm trying to bring something to God. It isn't an exercise in forcing God's hands. Oftentimes, prayer is an exercise in trusting God's heart. Before the prayer of faith is trusting God to do something, the prayer of faith is just trusting God. So that's the question for us tonight, Crossroads. As you kind of absorb all that you've heard throughout this week, and you bring it to this point of praying over it, which is often how we end a service, and we'll make an invitation right now for you to pray. Have you let your world weariness and maybe a little bit of your cynicism and maybe your ideas that this thing is a thing that God doesn't really care about and doesn't want to hear about, have you let that shut your mouth in prayer? Then open it up. This is a time for that. Or maybe there is something that has been laid upon your heart through successive night after successive night, and now is the time for you to step out and say, Lord God, I really want to get this taken care of. I really want to bring this to you. That prayer of trust is powerful and it works. And so I want you to avail yourself of it. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we are so grateful to you for this week. We are so grateful that you are a God who speaks. And Lord, we are so grateful that you are a God who moves, and that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord God, I come into your presence knowing that we need more than just to hear about what you do, Lord. We need to be people that walk in faith. And I know that as many people are here tonight, there are that many lives, jobs, families, decisions, choices, concerns, health issues. So many. And for some of us, Lord, we have been far too silent. We have been far too reluctant to bring it to you. Maybe, Lord, there have been some joys some things that we ought to have given gratitude and thankfulness to you. And we need to unleash our tongue tonight and give you that praise and prayer. Thank you that you are not merely a proposition, Lord, but that you are near to those who would reach out to you. And Father, I pray for anyone here tonight who has not prayed to you because they don't have that relationship with you. They have not been connected with this power that has been presented to us through Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would give them a spiritual thirsting and a longing to be filled by you, to be made right, to be forgiven, to be reconciled, to be adopted into your family. And Lord God, I thank you for this time and your Spirit's movement, and I pray that he would have his way with us. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this sermon, which took place during our 2020 Preaching Summit. We invite you to join us live every Sunday morning at 401 West Poplar Street in Elizabethtown.
We have life groups for all ages that begin at 9:15, and our worship service starts at 10:30. Please stop by our Welcome Center, and we'll be happy to help you get to the right place. For more information about our church, who we are, or to learn more about opportunities for worship, visit us online at crossroadsetown.com.
If you need someone to talk to or to pray with you, you can also find contact information about our elders, deacons, and staff. Any of us would love to hear from you and pray with you.
We pray that this sermon has blessed you the way that it has blessed us, and we look forward to meeting you soon. God bless you.